Again, we'd like to turn to the book of John, chapter 5. We began last week looking at how we want to have a series on how to study, how to search, how to read the scriptures. We're taking our thought from John 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. By way of review for last week, we began to look at our approach to the Word of God. And approach, we simply mean the preliminary steps that we take prior to opening the Word of God. But not only that, it's the steps that we also must maintain while we are reading, studying, searching the Scriptures. And we said last week that our approach should certainly promote, should lead to accuracy. One thing we should be very concerned about when reading the Scriptures is to be accurate. And it's an absolute necessity that we be accurate. The next thing is that we should discover what God has to say for us. And we tried to stress last week, it's not for you and I to determine what Scripture means. It's already been determined what it means. God has already determined that. It's for you and I to discover what God is saying. So our approach should lead to that. It should lead us to discovering what God says. And then, of course, it should lead to application or making a difference in our life. And we saw that we should approach the Word of God with preparation of heart, as we have to have our hearts prepared. We have to maintain a prepared heart as we study the Scriptures. We ought to approach the Word of God as the Word of God. Again, remembering exactly what it is. It is the Word of God. That means that we approach it with humility, and we have to maintain that spirit of humility as we read it. It means that we approach it with reverence, and again, we maintain that reverence as we read the Scriptures. It should be approached with awe. We should always be in awe of what God says, and it should be approached with faith, and that faith has to be maintained as we read the Scriptures. Even when we do not understand what we read, faith believes it anyway because of what it is, because it is the Word of God. It means that we approach the Word of God with submission, with seriousness, and with great thoughtfulness. So we're to approach it as the Word of God. We must approach it depending upon the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the interpreter of Scripture. So we must depend on Him to tell us, to teach us what it means. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is willing to show us what a verse of Scripture means. He may not show us right then. He may show us many things to get us to that point. But the Holy Spirit will work as an interpreter. So we must depend upon Him. We'd approach the Word of God with a passion and with a desire to know what it says. It really doesn't concern me what other people say it says. We need to know what it says. We need to read it with that desire. I want to know what it says. I want to know what God says. I want to know what God means. We're to approach it with delight. That is, there ought to be a joy. When we approach the Word of God, we ought to maintain that joy as we read the Scriptures. And then we're to approach it in order to make personal application. And that's where we left off last week. Application is the act of putting to use. That is, when we read the Word of God, we are to put to use what we have read. It is to have an impact upon us. It is to make a difference in our lives, and that's application. Application is taking a verse of Scripture and relating it to our life or connecting it to our life. What's sad is that most of God's people, I believe, read the Word of God without making any connection, for the most part, without making a connection between them and what it says. And that's one of the reasons for reading it, is to make that connection. And that is part of application, is making a connection with between what God's Word says and who we are. Making a connection between what God's Word says and our present circumstances, our present situations. Not that our present circumstances or present situations change the Word of God, but we ought to be able to make a connection. And I believe God shows us things so that we can make a connection between our own lives and what God's Word says. Most people would rather read the Word of God and make the connection to someone else's life. But we're to read the Word of God, making personal application. That is, making the connection between what it says and our situation and our life. And we saw last week, in order to make valid application, you have to have an accurate interpretation. You have to know what it says. If you don't know what it says, you can't possibly make a good application. Or if you misrepresent or misunderstand what it says, you cannot have an accurate interpretation. And in a couple weeks, we'll look at the steps in how to come to an accurate interpretation. It's not that difficult. It's not as difficult as most people make it out to be. But a lot of folks today will take the Word of God. They will take a verse of Scripture. They just pull it out of context, and then they make an inaccurate application of that Scripture. A good example in Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. People take that verse, totally disregard its context, and make an application upon that verse. And it's an invalid application. And it is a false application that leads to serious error. But they do it all the time. Notice in James chapter 4, and again, we could give many scriptures where invalid applications are made because of an inaccurate interpretation. But in James chapter 4 and verse 26, no, that's not what I want. Okay, well, let's go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 in verse 27. And I actually had someone use this verse of Scripture one time to make an application. They were going to do something foolish. And notice Jesus is speaking to Judas. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. He said, see right there, I've got to do this right now. It says so right there. Whatever you do, do it quickly. Well, that just pulling Scripture out of context and making an invalid application. And again, people do that all the time. So in order to make an accurate interpretation, application, you have to have a valid valid interpretation. We see also, if we're going to make true application, we have to be honest. We have to be honest. We have to be honest with ourselves. Honesty is absolutely required if we're going to make valid interpretation. We have to have some idea of who we are. We have to have some idea of our weaknesses, our strengths. We have to have some idea of our sins and so on. And we saw this last week. And then what we want to see and concentrate on, and this is where we really left off last week, is we need to seek to apply the Word of God by using its intended functions of the Word. And we saw those four functions, but we didn't go into detail, and that's what we want to do tonight. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Okay, we need to just stop right there. All Scripture is profitable. All Scripture has profit. So-and-so begat so-and-so. That is profitable. That has some profit. All Scripture is profitable. And then he tells us, and what profitable means, certainly it simply means that it has, there's gain. There's something to be gained in all Scripture. There is benefit in all Scripture. There is something that will advantage us spiritually in all Scripture. He then proceeds to mention four specific functions of the Word of God that the Word of God is profitable for. Now, I believe when we read the Scriptures, if we're going to make application, we need to always be looking for these four things, because the Scripture is profitable for these four things, or four intended functions of the Word of God. The first one that he mentions is doctrine. That's something that people do not like today. They don't even like the sound of the word. In fact, people will say, we don't stress doctrine. In other words, you don't believe anything. And you're wasting your time. Doctrine simply means teaching. In God's word, it means God's teaching. So when someone says, well, doctrine's not important, what they're saying is, God's teaching is not important. What they're really saying is, I don't know any doctrine, and I'm so confused about it, it doesn't matter anymore. That's really what they're saying. But doctrine, God's teaching. Now, when it comes to Scriptures, if we're going to make valid application is based upon God's teaching. What is God teaching? So, Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Every verse of Scripture, certainly every passage of Scripture, has a main truth that is being taught. And that is the doctrine. There is a truth that is being taught. We need to look for that truth in every Scripture. What is the main truth that is being taught? Just like if you were reading another book or listening to someone talk, you want to know, well, what are they talking about? And so it is when we read and study God's Word. So we have to be accurate in seeing what God says. And this is profitable. God's teaching, God's Word is profitable for God's teaching. Second thing he mentions is reproof. The Word of God is profitable for reproof. It tells me that when we open God's Word, there's God teaching. There is also something there to reprove me. And this is why we again have to be honest. And if we're going to make personal application, we have to take the reproof. Because the truth is, if there is no reproof, there is no correction, which is what's going to follow. But we see the Word of God is profitable for reproof. Now, to reprove is to admonish. It's to reprimand, to censor. So God's Word is profitable to admonish us. It's not just profitable for you and I to take it, to admonish someone else. Or it's profitable to reprimand us personally. Not just so you and I can take it and reprimand someone else. If we're going to make personal application, we have to make a connection between ourselves and the reprimands of God. And there are many. God's Word's filled with it. People today want to talk about, well, we don't want to be negative. Well, you have to know the negative to get to the positive many times. And we see that God's Word is filled with reprimands. And if we're going to make personal application, if we're going to receive the profit, we have to take these reproofs personally. So when we read the Word of God, we ought to be looking for them. We ought to be looking for personal reproof if we're going to apply Scripture. So to reprove is to expose. So one of the functions of the Word of God is to do just that, to expose. The Word of God exposes us. It exposes who we are. It exposes what we are. And that's why a lot of folks today, they don't like King James Bible. They'd rather have it reworded some way because they don't want to be exposed. Well, if you're going to apply Scripture to your life, you've got to be exposed. You've got to be exposed. So we need to be looking for these things. It means to unmask and to reveal. And what does it expose? What does it unmask? What does it reveal? It unmasks and it reveals that which is contrary and that which is not in a line with the standard of God. That's reproof. That's what happens when God reproves us. He exposes, he lays it open. Sin. And the Bible's very plain. And the Bible is very plain in its exposing. So if we're going to make valid application, we have to be willing to be exposed by the Word of God. If we're going to make personal application, we have to be willing to be exposed. Now the next thing he mentions here, we have doctrine. So when we're reading Scriptures, when we're going to make personal application, we need to be looking for God's teaching to us. That's doctrine. Secondly, we need to be looking for reproof. We ought to look for those things. Again, if we're going to make an honest application, we go looking for reproof because we know it's there. We know it's there because Scripture is profitable for these things. Following reproof is correction. And that is the very next step in making application. Really, the truth is, reproof is not profitable if there is no correction. You can reprove your children, but reproof is not going to make them better children. What's going to make them better children is correction. You see, reproof stops short. Parents do it all the time. They reprove, but they do not correct. And there is a difference. And we will see the difference. So, there is reproof. There is correction. Now, correction is simply God giving us the necessary steps to correct or to change whatever's been reproved. You know, there are people today, it doesn't bother them too much to be reproved, but don't talk to me about changing. You see, that's where they want to stop, right there. Reproof. Boy, you walked all over my toes. Well, you see, that's the problem today. Too many toes are getting stepped on, and really what we need is our hearts to be stepped on. Because just when your toes get stepped on, that's where it stops. We need to go a step further, and that is correction. So to correct is to take action to amend or to remove what has been exposed. So the Word of God is profitable for teaching. It teaches us what God says. It reproves us, so we ought to be looking for reproof. But it doesn't stop there. It also tells us the action to take to change what has been exposed. And then the next thing he mentions is instruction in righteousness. Now, this is very closely connected with correction. Instruction in righteousness, it simply means God, He reproves us, He rebukes us, He exposes what is wrong, and then if you read a little further, He will always acquaint you with what is right. Always. It's what the Scriptures do. So we need to be looking for that when we make personal application. Instruction in righteousness is training in righteousness. God trains us. It means He leads us. He guides us in righteousness. He not only tells us, okay, this is where you are wrong, this is what you need to do, He tells us also, and then He begins to guide. He begins to lead. And He begins to train us in righteousness. So the function of the Word of God is not only to correct what is wrong, but also to lead us in right ways. And really, instruction in righteousness is the means of correcting. Now, there's four things here, but just think about these last three: reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And then turn over to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Book of Colossians, chapter 3. We'll read verses 5 through verse 12. Now again, we're making personal application. So if we're going to make personal application, there's four things that we need to look for. And then we need to make the connection between those four things, between us and what God is saying. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Now notice in Colossians 3, verse 5, we'll just read down through verse 12. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Okay. What is the teaching? Well, what is the main subject? The main subject really goes back to mortify. That's pretty much the main subject here. Mortifying or dealing with the flesh. So we have our main subject. Now, to make personal application, where is the reproof? It's in here somewhere. What is being reproved? Well, what is being reproved in verse 5? Notice fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness. Those things are being reproved. Notice also in verses 8 and verse 9, we have anger, we have wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying. Those are the things that are being rebuked. Those are the things that are being reprimanded. So if we're going to make personal application, we have to go through this list and we have to see, am I guilty? Am I guilty of any one of these things in any degree? It's not as I as guilty as so-and-so. Are you guilty of any one of these things in any degree? You have to make the connection between yourself and what is being rebuked or being reproved. So we have what is being reproved. Now, what is the correction? How do we correct it? Again, you make the connection. The Spirit of God speaks to you, points out a few things here that, and he reproves you. Then correction. Verse 5, mortify. Well, that's the correction. How do you take care of these things that have been reproved? You mortify. You mortify. Now, you make the connection between what it says there and yourself. And you can ask yourself several other questions along also, which we'll get to more next week. Then notice verse 8 and verse 9. Put off. Put off all these. That's the correction. To correct this behavior, you have to mortify. You have to put off. So we have reproof. We have correction. We also have instruction in righteousness. Again, God not only tells us what is wrong, tells us what we need to do about it, we need to mortify and we need to put off. He also tells us the righteousness, or acquaints us with righteousness. In verse 10 through verse 14, he's telling us to put on. You put off, and then you put on. Now that's the problem today. Many are trying to put on without putting off. That's why you have to make all four applications. There is the rebuke or the reproof. There is the correction. You're to mortify and you're to put off. You cannot get to the instruction in righteousness. You cannot apply that until you make the correction. And that is you mortify and you put off. And once you have mortified and put off, now you are able to put on these things. And that is our instruction in righteousness. If you go down to verse 15 and 16, we see the word let. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is our instruction in righteousness. Allow the peace after you've put off. After you've dealt with these things that have been reproved, now you can allow the peace of God to rule in your heart. But you see, today people, they read verse 15, they say, wow, that's wonderful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. I'm going to do that. Well, you're not until you mortify, and you're not until you're going to put off. You have to go through the reproof. So we see that when we read the Word of God, we need to be looking for God's teaching. We need to be looking for the reproof. There's reproof there. There's reprimand there somewhere. Then we need to be looking for the correction. God is going to tell us what to do to correct, to amend, or to remove the problem. And then there is going to be instruction in righteousness, which really is applying the correction. Then notice in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read verse 9. 1 Peter 3, verse 9. We see not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, But contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are therefore unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Okay, if we were going to make personal application, where is the reproof? What is being reproved? What is being reproved here is rendering evil for evil. Am I guilty? Am I doing that? Have I done that? Rendering evil for evil, that's what's being rebuked. Railing for railing, that is what is being rebuked. That is what is being reproved. So once we see what is being reproved, we have to stop. We have to examine our hearts. Am I guilty? Am I guilty in any degree? Because that's what's being reproved. It's what's being rebuked. The correction. The correction is found in the first word, not. Not rendering evil for evil. The correction is just, the correction is the same in everything. Stop doing it. I mean, that's the correction. Stop doing it. If you lie, the correction, the line is stop lying. Tell the truth. That's the correction. The correction for rendering evil for evil is stop doing that. That's the correction. Well, if they would say, that's not the correction. The correction is you stop. Again, we make personal application. Railing for railing. And then the instruction is, contrarywise, blessing. That is, when somebody renders evil, we render blessing. When someone rails, we render blessing. That's the instruction. So we make personal application. Notice in 3 John, verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Okay, it's very plain here. What is being reproved? Evil. Which covers any sin. That's what's being rebuked here. That's what's being reproved. What's the correction? Follow not. Follow not that which is evil. That's how to correct it. Stop doing that. Do not follow after that. What is the instruction in righteousness? But that which is good. In other words, stop following evil and start following good. And that is the application. Now notice in Psalm 37. We're going to look at two more passages, Psalm 37. Just trying to pick easy scriptures that are very plain. In Psalm 37, very plain, very simple passage of scripture. Let's read the first 8 verses. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now, in light of the four functions of the Word of God, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. We read this passage of Scripture, and if we're going to make personal application, we need to ask ourselves some questions based on those four functions. Question number one is, what is the main teaching? As you read through there, what is the main teaching? And again, we pick this Scripture because it's very obvious. You don't have to dig very deep, you see right away what is the main teaching. The main teaching is to trust in the Lord, to look entirely to the Lord, depend completely upon the Lord. That's what the Lord is teaching. Okay, so we know the subject. Now we have to look for the second thing, reproof. So there's going, somewhere in this passage, there is going to be reproof concerning this subject of trusting in the Lord and looking to the Lord. And just some of the reproof in verse 1, that, and again, we need to ask ourselves, what reproof is there for me? What reproof is there for me in my life and in my situation? In verse 1, he reproves fretting, worrying. He reproves that when he says, fret not. So that's one of the things that he's reproving. So we need to stop and we need to ask ourselves, am I doing that? Do I do that? Do I have a tendency to do that? And if so, we need to take the reproof. So that is one thing he is rebuking. Another thing he is rebuking is envy. Verse 1, be not thou envious. He's rebuking envy. So he is rebuking worry. He is rebuking envy. Again, we have to be honest with ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, am I guilty? Am I guilty of envy? And then if you go down to verse 8, another thing he is rebuking is anger. He rebukes anger. You say, well, I've got the right to be angry. So-and-so did such and such. He rebukes anger. That's what he's rebuking here. And then he goes on, he rebukes wrath. That's keeping anger within us, and we want to do something about that anger. Wrath. And again, this is what he's reproving. This is what he's rebuking. And another thing he rebukes is just evil or sin. In the context, it would be with anger and wrath and worry and all these things. So we have our subject, that is trusting in the Lord, looking to the Lord, depending upon the Lord. We see the things that have been rebuked, and we need to take time. We need to, when we see what the reproof is, we need to examine ourselves. You say, well, that'll take longer than reading my daily bread and reading a passage of Scripture in 5 minutes. Exactly, it will take longer, and you'll get more out of it. Reading the daily bread or any other devotional, and I'm not opposed to devotionals, but it does not replace studying and reading the Scriptures. It doesn't replace it. Nothing can replace that. Nothing can replace taking a Scripture and applying it. And that's what we need to do every day. We need to take a Scripture, we need to apply it. So we need to ask ourselves, we know somewhere in, there's the teaching, and we know somewhere in that teaching there's reproof. And we need to ask ourselves, is there reproof for me? We don't read it and say, ah, fret not thyself. I'm gonna show that to my husband. I'm going to show that to my wife. No, that's not why you're reading it. You're reading it for yourself. And then what correction needs to be made? Well, he's rebuked fretting. What are we to do? We're not to do it anymore. Fret not thyself. We see the cause of the fretting is because of evildoers. What's the correction for envy? He says, neither be thou envious. In other words, stop it. That's the correction. It's like when you tell a child, don't do that anymore. That's correction. That's correction. It's rebuke, but it's also correction. Verse 8, he tells us that with the anger, he says, cease from it. He says, forsake wrath. And again, he says, fret not thyself. So we have the doctrine, we have the reproof, we have the correction. What is the instruction? What is the instruction to help me? And really, the instruction, again, is what helps us to make the correction. How do we stop fretting? How do we stop being envious? How do we stop being angry? Well, that's part of the instruction. And he tells us all through this psalm, He instructs us in righteousness. In verse 2, he says, "For they so soon be cut down." He's talking about the evil. He says, "Be not thou envious against them, or do not fret because of them. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." So what's the instruction there? The instruction is, do not be envious. Don't lose sight of what they are. And that's what happens. Anytime you get envious of a lost person, you have lost sight of what they are. You have lost sight of where they're headed. I mean, there is nothing in any lost sinner for a child of God to envy. Not one thing. And if you find something to envy in them, you've lost sight of what they are. And you've lost sight where they're headed. So that's our instruction. And then the instruction, you find it in verse 3, 4, 5, and 7. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Cease from anger. And all of these things, again, are just our instruction in righteousness. We were going to look at James chapter 1, but we won't. We've run out of time. But as you look at scriptures to make application, look for those four things, because they're always there. They're always there. There is doctrine, there is reproof, there is correction, and there is instruction. And they are there for our profit. And we need to make the connection between ourselves and them. So we look at Scripture, we look for those four things, we relate, that is, we make a connection, we connect the passage to our life. And I don't care what passage it is, you need to try to make a connection between that passage and your life. That's why most people read the Word of God, and you could ask them 20 minutes later what they got out of it, and they couldn't tell you a thing, because they have made absolutely no connection whatsoever. You make a connection, and you won't forget. You will be able to remember that throughout the day when you can make a connection. But people just read it like they would any other novel and any other book and make no connection whatsoever. And therefore, they don't remember. What good is it? Hasn't done you much good. And again, if Scripture is not profitable, it's not because of Scripture. It's because of your approach. It's because of the way you read it. And then once we have located these four things and we've made a connection, then we need to meditate. That is, we need to digest it. We need to think about it. And that's the purpose. People can call them devotions, call it whatever you want. But you have to make a connection, and you have to go through the day, and you have to digest it. You have to meditate upon it. If you do that, I promise you, Scripture will be profitable to you, and you will grow in leaps and bounds spiritually. If you just read the Scripture every day, make a connection, meditate upon it, focus. This is all part of application. That is, you can read Psalm 37. There's a lot there. And however the Lord deals with you as you read it, there's something there that you need to focus on. That is, there's something specific in that passage that you need to focus your attention upon that day. And you need to find whatever that is. And you need to focus on it. And you need to, again, meditate upon it. And then you need to pray. And you need to ask the Lord, help me. And then you need to practice what you've read, what you've applied. So, in our approach to the Word of God, we always should approach it, how does it apply to me? What does it mean to me? What impact, and again, today, people read the Word of God, they get up, they go out, they do just exactly the opposite of what they just read, because the Word of God has had absolutely no impact upon them. That's part of application. when we make application, the Word of God has an impact upon our lives. It forces us to change. I mean, the impact of it forces us to change. A lot of people need to just break all their bad habits concerning reading the Scriptures. I mean, it's just like being saved all over. You need to start all over and make personal application. Strive for it. I've got to make application. And it's not hard. I mean, you read a verse of Scripture, and if you're honest with yourself and you're looking for those things, for doctrine, reproof, correction, righteousness, you look for those things, you don't have to look hard. They're right there. I mean, they and when you train your mind, I'm looking for that which will rebuke me. You train your mind that way. I'm looking for that which will correct what I've been rebuked for. Now I'm looking for that which will instruct me in the way that I should go. When you train your mind to do that, you see it immediately. I mean, as soon as you read a verse of Scripture, those things just come right off the page. You see it. You have to train your mind. You have to look for those things. But people, when they read the Word of God, they're not looking for anything specific. They're just reading. But we need to be looking for those four things. And I promise you, if you're looking for them, you don't have to look hard. I mean, you don't have to go digging. They're right there. They're right on the surface. These aren't things. You don't have to know the Greek. You don't have to know the Hebrew. They're right there on the surface. They're right there. And they're all profitable. They're all profitable. So strive to make application. We'll look again next week at another way that we can make application. Back on the ledge, just a survey of what we did tonight. And then on the back of that sheet, there's some verses where you can read, and there's, I believe, seven of them, and you can just try these things. Look for these four things in those verses. Just look for them yourself. Brother Rich, you come.